This is the BBC from Wembley. Lennon of the Rovers, soccer's Penny Dreadful of the Airwaves, the gripping tale of Britain's only communist football club and their single-minded dedication to getting their paws on the silver. Yes, it's cup final day, so let's go over to one of the nicest guys in broadcasting and one of the most unpleasant outside it, TV's Mr. Football, Frank Lee Bryan.
Good morning and welcome to the biggest day in the footballing calendar. There are no end of other trophies to play for. There are plenty of other cups to win, but none of them has the tradition, the sheer prestige of the Heinz Sandwich Spread FA Cup. With me this morning, the controversial manager of Sherwood Forest FC, Mr. Robin Hood. Good morning, Robin.
I don't think there's anything good about it, young man.
And the former Southampton and England striker, Mike Frankley.
Cheerio, Frankley.
Well, boys, today's final pits the Giants of Felchester against those fourth division minnows, once great rubbish wanderers. What's your prediction for the big day?
Well, I think it'll probably be Saturday.
Yes, we know that. We know that. I mean the score.
Rubbish wanderers to nick it. What, 1-0?
Claptrap, absolute sheep dropping. I refuse to sit here while that young man, spouts such turnip-headed drivel. If I were 30 years younger, I'd box your ears. As it is, I'm going to punch you on the nose. Oh! And, furthermore, let that be a lesson to you, Felchester are going to win 3-0.
Sherwood's hard-hitting manager there, Robin Hood. And Mike and Robin will be with us for the next 26 hours, folks. Because on this year's Footy Scene Cup Marathon, we'll be bringing you more in-depth coverage, more stupid camera angles, more disruption to your favourite Saturday evening programmes. We kick off at 9 o'clock with a special edition of It's a Cup Final Blind Date. Followed at 10 by It's a Cup Final Hello Hello. Then at 10:30, we join Harry Secombe in the Falkland Islands for It's a Cup Final Highway. While at 11 o'clock, It's a Cup Final Bandung Fire. But first up this morning, we're going straight over to the Felchester Team Hotel with Frank Lee Davis.
Hello and welcome to room 124 of the Honeysuckle Lodge International Hotel and Conference Centre, nestling on the hard shoulder of the M25. I'm here to talk to members of the Felchester squad about this afternoon's final, starting with Burnley defender Stevie Starling. Tell me, Stevie, what have you got to say about the big day?
What are you doing in my bedroom?
Frankly, Stevie, I bet you can't wait to run out onto that Wembley turf, mate.
It's 3 o'clock in the busted morning, mate.
Of course, a good night's sleep is so important before a big game.
Will you just get out of my bed? Get on.
So, tell us, Stevie, what are your plans for combating the aerial threat of Wanderers' big number nine, Matt Brings?
I'll show you.
Oh! Oh! Poetry! Oh!
Oh! And stay out! Blimey, Terry, did you see that? Bloody Jehovah's Witnesses again. Makes you question your entire faith in the news media. I mean, maybe that stuff about Elton John and the Pelican wasn't true after all.
Although, to be fair, the stuff about Ricky in the Otter Sanctuary with the peanut butter and the 9-inch telescope was.
Just like him to sleep through all this noise and all. Let's wake him up properly. Pull back the bedclothes.
Well, boil my shorts in Oxo. He's not in his bed, look! There's just hundreds of scrumpled copies of Scorcher and Score, moulded into the shape of a balding anarcho-syndicalist tactical mastermind.
The slimy git. No wonder he made us all gun off to bed after John Craven's news round.
Aye, the Colonel's not in his bed either. What can they be doing at 3 a.m?
Okay, Colonel, when's this woman coming?
She's not a woman, Lennon. She's a commercial enterprise.
But I've seen her on TV. She's over 80.
Who is?
Old Ma Crumbly, of Old Ma Crumbly's traditional home-produced cottagey goods.
That's just an actress, Lennon. The company's run by a Sicilian called Benedetto Crumbletto or something. And he's the one who's arranging the sponsorship.
Oh, you idiot, Colonel. We're not going to get a £1 million sponsorship deal out of a cake shop.
Cake shop? Damn it, Lenin. Omar Crumblers is the fourth biggest multinational conglomerate in the world. Of course they do a nice range of scones, macaroons, and toasted tea cakes, but their main interest is germ warfare. Crumblethorpe are into everything. Soft drinks, construction, needless experiments on small furry animals, rainforest clearance, salmonella farming, plundering the world's fish stocks, gangland murder and slavery. Why, they own the biggest slave mines in South Africa.
For heaven's sake, I can't be publicly associated with something like that.
What? Don't you like toasted tea cakes?
Colonel, I am an international socialist. If I lend my name to this company, I'll go out of fashion overnight. Next to me, Bob Holdness will look like the Jesus and Mary chain.
South Africa is changing. Great strides are being made toward a truly multiracial slave market. What do you think happened to all our youth opportunity lads who went on the winter tour?
You mean they weren't devoured by those giant anteaters?
By now, I should expect they're getting a bum deal in the oil business.
But, Colonel, official club policy is to isolate South Africa completely and make nasty faces in the general direction of Johannesburg.
If you isolate South Africa, Lenin, you deprive black slaves of vital rock-breaking skills. After independence, many of these people will want to start their own rockery companies.
How can I be sure? In a world that's constantly changing. I'm going to have to think this one through, Colonel.
£1 million?
I thought it through, okay. As long as we get the money, but the club as a whole puts its name to the deal, then I can deny everything.
Splendid. You can forge young Teddy Trotsky's signature.
Yes, and Stevie Stalin's X covered in dribbles shouldn't be too much trouble.
Shh. Someone's coming.
Hello, old Mark Crumbly, hello.
Yeah, I'm a Mark Crumbly. You're a football guy, huh? Sign here.
Before I sign anything, I want to know what the team has to do for its £1 million.
Nothing much, Lenin. Just a few promotional appearances. TV, video, that sort of thing. Blue Peter.
It says electric blue.
Electric blue, Peter, that's the one.
Sex-crazed antlers of lust.
A nature film, Scandinavian sort of thing.
And what's this? The team agrees to take part in a safety fun run round the skin-scale experimental nuclear power facility, wearing only sequined jockey shorts.
Well, you could take that day off, Lenin. Throw a sickie.
I should think everybody else will be throwing a sickie for the next 30 years after that.
You're going to sign or not?
Hang on, what's this? The team consent to pose, smiling for photographs, next to Jacko the Flopsy Piglet.
Nothing wrong with that, surely.
Who will be connected to an intravenous drip of amyl nitrate and wired up to the Florida State electric chair?
Old Smoky Bacon.
I take it there is some important scientific principle being investigated here?
No. It's just a bit of fun. After a long day of important medical experiments, the scientists get a bit browned off.
As does Jacko the Piglet.
Wait a minute. There's more. The team will be expected to advertise one of Mark Rumbly's home-produced cottagey goods on their T-shirt. What, the tasty macaroons?
Actually, it's nerve gas. Trioxyphenonaphthadisulfamorphigedol.
That's our bloody big shirts, then.
Look, just sign the documents, will you, Mac? Mr. Crumbletto, I don't like to be kept waiting, huh?
Think of all those South African diamonds, Lenin. The ones that get exported to Moscow in such large quantities.
Ooh, somebody's been reading exposés in the Independent, haven't they?
Sign here, Lenin.
Okay, right, hand over the £1 million sponsorship.
Not so fast. First, you've got to win the cup final.
Ah, yes, the small print.
No, the page numbering. It was on the other sheets we didn't show you.
But surely, with such large sums involved, the company should be prepared to part with a small down payment. Shall we say, 100,000?
Oh, sure, there's a down payment. Here, a can of Omar Crumbly's tangy, refreshing koala cola.
Don't forget to drink it inside 3 days.
Why, for that country fresh fizz, as it says on the label?
No, because after that, the can will dissolve.
Good morning and welcome to Cup Final Breakfast Footy Scene Update. My name's Frank Lee Bryan, the man in the casual Wembley pyjamas. It's 5 a.m. and the Cup is now only 10 hours away. Mike, what's your tip for this afternoon?
I'd say Captain Bobolat in the 3:30 at Kempton Park.
The score, Mike.
Oh, right, yeah. I'd say Felchester to win 3-0.
Nonsense. That's absolute parrot vomit, and you know it. Rubbish Wanderers are going to nick it 1-0. You wouldn't know football if it was painted green and put in a pile of peas. And if you disagree with me, I'm going to punch you on the nose again.
Oh, right, yeah, well, I agree.
No, don't interrupt, young whippersnapper. Whereas if you agree with me, I'm going to put your head in a robo-chef.
All right, though, then.
Robin Hood there. Television's Mr. Considered Tactical Discussion. But what of the two teams themselves? Felchester from the grimiest, soot-stained Midlands, and Rubbish Wanderers from the grimiest, soot-stained Midlands. What does the FA Cup mean to the grimiest, soot-stained supporters of these fine old clubs? We sent Frank Lee Motson to investigate.
If you've ever been to your local pub and opened a packet of pork scratchings, chances are it came from Rubbishford. Because the driving force behind Rubbish Wanderers FC and behind Piggy Bite Pork Scratchings Limited are one and the same man, flamboyant local scratchings tycoon Terry Spint. Until Spint bought the club in 1985 for £150 at a car boot sale, Rubbish Wanderers were perilously close to extinction. Bottom of Division 4 with an average gate of 17, it was all a far cry from the glory, glory days of 1959, the year when Danny Cauliflower and his men held aloft the European Free Trade Cup at the Camembert Stadium of mighty FC Limoges. But the glory, glory, glory years didn't last.
Oh my word, Sopwith has dropped it, and that goal by Ferenc Whiskers puts FC Supermeter Prague 14-0 in front.
After being defeated by Whiskers in his Czechs, Wanderers were taken apart the following year by Laszlo Katamich Hungarians. Domestic trouble followed. In 1976, they mortgaged their ground for £9 million and spent the lot on Manchester City midfielder Steve Crapp. Crapp played three times for the club and then said he didn't feel very well. Tests later showed a recurrence of an old sinus problem brought on by an allergy to hair-perming fluid. In the next 6 years, Wanderers didn't win a single game. But now, with Spint behind them, Wanderers are back at the end of the day. But what of the opposition, Britain's only Marxist football club, Felchester Rovers? According to the Doomsday Book, the town of Felchester was founded after the Norman conquest by Sir Ranulph Felch. Today, it's the thriving centre of the Manila envelope trade, known for its many colourful roundabouts and picturesque disused asbestos factories. So confident are Felchester of winning, they've even released a chart-propping single. It's called Felchester, 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 Acid House Mix.
That man goes on and on. How are we going to find out about Rubbish Wanderers? Honestly, Stevie, that was your job.
I did what you said. I sent scouts to the last two home matches.
Brilliant. Three small boys in shorts. Who cleaned out the changing rooms for a shilling?
They brought back tons of information,
mate. Oh, yes, stacks, stacks. We now know that the girl in the front office takes two lumps in her tea and that they use double-action harpic in the U-bend. That'll come in very handy when we're trailing 5-0.
Oh, come on, Pat. Surely we can beat a fourth division team, even if their centre-forward is prolific golden-haired teenage heartthrob Matt Brink 17. Why are you so nervous about the final, anyway?
What makes you think I'm nervous?
Oh, the way you've just put your breakfast egg in the laundry basket and swallowed my soiled jockstrap in one gulp.
I'm not nervous. I do feel extremely ill, though.
Look, man, you said yourself we're special.
We're a communist football club. We can win it, you said, because we've broken the mould of capitalist politics.
Yes, yes, I know, and we've nailed the jelly of bourgeois liberalism to the ceiling, yes. But Wanderers are from Division 4. They've got nothing to lose.
Neither have we, Pat. I mean, to say it's not as if we've compromised our principles in any way, is it? I mean, we haven't signed any secret million-pound sponsorship deals with amazingly evil multinational corporations. Aha! I've got me jockstrap back. Nice and clean, too.
Oh, what a ridiculous idea, Stevie. Secret deals, indeed. Why, that's about as likely as bearded animal rights activists seizing the cup only hours before the final and holding it to ransom. Ho, 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 ho.
Good morning, it's Frank Lee Bryan here with Cup Final Footy Scene Update. We interrupt this edition of It's a Cup Final Lost in Space to bring you the big news. Yes, amazingly, only hours before the final, the FA Cup has been seized and held to ransom by bearded animal rights activists. The Bearded Animal Rights Front, or BARF, have announced that they won't give it back unless all 22 players sign a declaration condemning the activities of Omar Crumbly's traditional cottage pie shop at Animal Extermination Viral Unit PLC. I have with me here Felchester's club treasurer, Colonel Brace Cartwright. Are Ricky Lennon and the boys going to sign, Colonel?
Well, that's up to them, of course. But I can assure the public that old Mark Crumbly is in fact a sweet, white-haired old woman whom I have personally escorted to many a tea dance or whist drive. All the small furry animals involved were humanely murdered and were buried at sea with full military honours.
But, Colonel, the animal rights campaigners have actual photographs of tiny, wiggly bunnies being tied to railway tracks only minutes before the arrival of the Flying Scotsman. And of helpless day-old chicks being bound and gagged and dropped into huge vats of molten lead. All in the name of medical research, of course.
Frankly, whose word would you take? That of a sweet, frail, white-haired old multi-millionaireess? Or a gang of dreadful beardies and loon pants and tie-dye T-shirts? I would advise Lennon and Co. not to sign.
Thank you, Colonel. And now we return you to It's a Cup Final, I Dream of Jeannie.
You signed what?
Listen, I have Mar Crumbly's categoric assurance that any experiments involving lethal viruses have been confined to a small island off the coast of Northern Europe
called Britain.
No. Yes.
But we're supposed to be a communist football club. What didn't do deals with people like that?
Oh, my naive marmosettes. There are times when everybody has to compromise their principles temporarily in order to benefit the revolution in the long run. Did not Russia sign a pact with Hitler? Has not Gorbachev sat at the same table as Ronald Reagan? Is not Dr. David Owen attempting to form a new political party with Pol Pot?
Who's moderating his views, then?
Who, David Owen or Pol Pot?
It doesn't really matter, does it?
No. Anyway, I can't sign that declaration against Mark Crumbly's boys. I mean, like, I'll be in breach of contract, you know, man? I mean, they'll hit me for, like, thousands. I mean, doesn't that bother you?
It's your signature on the contract, the old ball cruncher. You're the one that's going to lose out.
Well, actually, Terry, mine is not the only signature on the contract. It has 10 little friends with it. In fact, it sits between your signature and yours, or at least the most accurate forgeries that I could manage.
What?
You can even get. How did you manage to forge my signature?
Well, it was easy. I got a pair of those shoes with plastic animal footprints on the bottom.
You dirty bastard, man.
All right, lass. Save it for later, Stevie. Right now, we're all in this together. And we got 6 hours to get the cup back. We've got to trust each other.
Trust him. I'd rather hand a priceless crystal vase to Gary Sprake.
But how are we going to get the cub back?
They're blackmailing us. We'll blackmail them. You know they can't stand to see a dumb animal hurt. So we'll just threaten to tie up a defenceless, flopsy bunny. Right? It's not a funny act by any means, this. And we'll perform acts of unimaginable cruelty and violence on it. Something despicable involving electrodes and peanut butter.
Yous wouldn't do that to a real flopsy bunny, would yous?
Course not, Divvy. But we do it to a human being dressed in a realistic flopsy bunny suit.
But I mean, where will we find a human being prepared to endure such unimaginable... Oh, no! You don't know!
Stevie, a noble sacrifice that will be remembered for, up until tea time at least. We promise not to airbrush you out of any team photographs when you've gone.
What do you mean, when?
Yeah, all right, it may not come to that.
Although it probably will.
How will, lads? I didn't even like peanut butter.
Okay, Stevie, let's compromise. We won't use any of the crunchy stuff.
Okay, Rick, you phone the animal liberation people. I'll make the toast.
Oh, come on, get off! Get off!
Hello and welcome to Cup Final Footy Scene. My name's Frank Lee Bryan, the man who doesn't do outdoor commentaries since he went to the hair clinic in Harley Street. And the big news this afternoon, with only half an hour to go to the final, is that the FA Cup has been handed back by bearded representatives of the animal rights organisation which took it, and that the match will now go ahead as planned, except that Fulcher's number 3, Stevie Starlin, has pulled out with a groin strain, a pulled hamstring, and peanut butter friction burns. Quite frankly, Robin Hood?
Well, I've always maintained, frankly, the cup was always going to come back before the final.
That's not right. You said it would never be recovered.
Don't contradict the young man. You wouldn't know football if it was posted through your letterbox with a bomb inside it.
I got a tape recording of you saying it.
Nonsense, guff and hogwash. Absolute goat's phlegm. I was going to punch you on the nose, but instead I've arranged for a piano to be dropped on your head from a 12-story building.
In-depth football analysis there from soccer's Mr. Dangerous Lunatic. And now to another of our Cup Final Footy Scene features. There's a capacity crowd of 90,000 here today, of whom at least 115 are genuine supporters. There have been protests among the soccer establishment that quite so many genuine fans managed to get in. But earlier on today, the sports minister, Mr. Colin Pimple, had this to say.
It's very important that we who run sport do not ignore the casual supporter, the kind of chap who only goes to one game of football a year. It's purely coincidence that the one game in question just happens to be the cup final and that they're all my friends.
The Minister for Sport.
You see, Lennon, big business. That's what football's all about. That and savage groin crunching fouls, anyway.
You know, Colonel, you may have a point. I mean, like, modern Britain is changing in every sphere, isn't it? And, like, we radical socialists really must be prepared to adapt. I mean, it's not that I agree with Mrs. Thatcher or anything like that, heaven forbid, but, I mean, you have to respect their strength, don't you, really? And quite admire her shins, because, let's face it, when she took over, this country was in a bit of a mess, wasn't it? I mean, there was the 3-day week, there was the 100 Years' War, there was the plague, the Black Death, you know. And, of course, I don't personally believe in privatisation, but you have to admit it's streamlined a few wasteful areas, hasn't it? And really, that's what the NHS needs, isn't it? I mean, a strong, independent figure in charge, you know, prepared to tolerate no opposition. Somebody like Torquay Mader or the devil, perhaps, you know. Speaking personally, I'm going to buy this, rather nice converted condom warehouse in Docklands. I am working class myself, of course, so I'd feel happier living in an area where the working class used to live, you know. Plus, there's lots of room to park the XJS. I mean, I'm just 3 doors down from Dr. David Owen.
Steady on, Lennon. We don't get the spondulics until we win the cup. That's a lesson I learned from my time at Barclays. Until you've got your hands on the cash, it's worth nothing.
I didn't know you worked in a bank, Colonel.
I didn't. I was tunnelling underneath it, you damn fool.
But we can't fail, Colonel. We got the cup back from the animal liberationists. All we have to do now is beat rubbish wanderers.
But what about dashing 17-year-old flaxen-haired, even-tooth, muscle-bound, pin-up, net-burster Matt Briggs, 17?
Well, as of today, he is a stray shin pad in the dressing room of life. You remember that can of Mar Grumbly's experimental soft drink, Koala Cola? Well, I gave it to him. He went down half an hour ago with salmonella, listeria, Legionnaire's disease, blackwater fever, swamp fever, malaria, sinusitis and leprosy.
Ah, they've eliminated the health risk then.
What, the risk of there being anything healthy in it at all?
It's basically Senegalese river water with a purple dye mixed in it.
Yes, you know, Mark Crumbly's aren't exactly the most ethical company around, are they? Still, they are putting the people of this country back on their feet.
As long as they don't drink Koala Cola.
That is the end of the commercial break. We now go over live to catch the last few seconds of the cup final. Here to describe what's happening, Frank Lee Davis.
Oh, 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 and finally the ball is retrieved from the crowd. Only seconds to go now, and the referee looking at his whistle, and the match hanging in the balance, and the cup could go either way in these last few seconds. Oh, and it's all over. Rubbish Wanderers 0, Felchester 17, and suspense right to the end there. Ricky Lennon now mounts the famous Wembley staircase and holds aloft the Menu Master's chicken chasso with broccoli FA Cup. Oh.
Felchester. Well, boys, we've won the most prestigious trophy in the footballing calendar.
Why, aye, and we've won a year's supply of Menu Masters, too.
Yes, well, there are drawbacks to everything.
And we've done it all as a socialist football club.
I must confess, Rick, that's the bit I never thought would work.
Yes. While socialism has, of course, played an important role, we must not forget dear white-haired old Mark Crumbly.
And £1 million.
Yes, a most generous old lady, if a touch on the fictitious side.
Well, I'm sure you'll be generous to her, Rick, when your breach of contract lawsuit comes to court and she sues you for everything you've got.
What? What antelope diarrhea is this?
Well, Rick, being a communist football club, we thought at least one of us ought to sign the declaration condemning Mark Crumbly. Unfortunately, you weren't around at the time, so we signed it for you.
You did what?
Ah, Lennon, message from Mark Crumbly. You remember you were going on about the docks and how spacious they are? Well, the dear old ladies put your car in them. And you're next, unless you pay her back.
Oh, God, you mean I've got to give back the £1 million?
No, because you never had it in the first place. The money was delivered to us after the game, so we sent it straight round to the Animal Liberationists as a sort of donation, you know, fraternal socialist gift from everyone at that club. Everyone except you, that is.
Alone again, naturally.
You know what to do, Lenin. There's only one thing for it. Take the gentleman's way out.
Take the gentleman's way out? Yes, you mean climb out the tallest window?
The ultimate.
Oh, you're right, Colonel. I'm ready for the great leap into the unknown. Ring round to Mark Crumbly's and order me a barrel of Koala Cola.
And as Ricky Lennon is smuggled out of the country in an empty Koala Cola barrel to begin a new footballing life abroad, we bid farewell to Lennon of the Rovers. Lennon of the Rovers starred Alexis Sale as Ricky Lennon, Kenneth Wolstenholme as Frank Lee O'Brien, Donald Hewlett as the Colonel, Andrew McLean as Stevie Starlin, Mike Frankley, with Phil Corman as Robin Hood, Motson, Davis, and Terry Trotsky. Your announcer was John Whitty. The program was written by Marcus Berkman and the producer, Harry Thompson.